Wealth and Talent Radio.
More Heart Than Talent Radio is brought to you today by my book, The Procrastination Cure. Do you avoid errands, chores, and tasks frequently? Do you put off making decisions because you feel overwhelmed emotionally? Do you avoid prospecting for your business? If you are committed to letting go of your procrastinator identity, begin the process of change so you can finally go from procrastinator to producer. To receive your free copy now, go to goldenmastermind.com/pro.
The power of decision, the power of commitment. There's a misconception that knowledge is power. It's actually the application of insight and wisdom put into practical application that creates a result that will give you power. And you're also going to see Joe DiBianca, who has become an expert at the topic of power versus force. And if you've not picked that book up, I highly recommend that book and a companion book, Letting Go, by Dr. David Hawkins. These are not books you read. These are books that you integrate. These are books that you learn. These are books that you put into practical application so you can have a better understanding of the mind-body connections that creates the events that shape the feelings. Now, if you have challenges committing or commitment phobic in your business, your enterprise, or in certain situations in life, and you find yourself commitment phobic when it comes to relationships and other situations, well, that would be an effect, not a cause. Once you have a better understanding of why you do what you do and how emotions have a corresponding response, then you can begin to separate your feelings from the events. Now, as you start to move into your power and you let go of your force, you let go of your indecision, you let go of your inability to commit, and you let go of your abandonment rejection issues, your energy begins to change. You start to elevate your consciousness. You start to step into a different body. And as you are relaxed in your body, your voice changes, your energy changes, your ability to create on command. Now, emotions that have a corresponding response. Now, what that means is that if you're in an emotional state, not understanding why you do what you do, you're chronically avoiding, you're overwhelmed, you're undisciplined, you're unorganized, well, there's a reason that is called a cause. But if you don't understand why you do what you do, if you stay in denial of why you do what you do, and you say, I don't know what I do what you do, then you'll create the same situation over and over to feel forced, to feel abandoned, to feel rejected. And if you don't find someone to reject you, then you'll reject yourself. And that's what many people do with critical communication. Now, to be able to commit and decide is a skill. Being commitment conscious rather than commitment phobic would be a skill. And it means I am committed. Committing begins with an affirmation, I am. It begins with today. You don't commit tomorrow because it hasn't happened. And you can't commit yesterday because that's gone. You learn to let go of regret and anxiety. Regret about the past, anxiety about future stories that haven't happened. As you begin to step into your power and live in that power, that's a different level of energy that you begin to transmit, transmute, and send as a message. But if you're in a mixed message in an overwhelmed state, if you're in anxiety, fear, and doubt, then your corresponding response that you'll attract to reality will be people and situations to fulfill those feelings. Now, the American populace, Canadian populace, Australian populace has challenges committing, primarily because they are commitment phobic. And this is why in communication and language style, a large percent of the world populace speaks with non-committed communication, kinda, sorta, like to, and proverbially the word guess. I hear the word guess at least 100 times a day from top-tier clients, friends, people, associates that I know and know of who in mid-sentence insert the word guess, not even knowing they're putting it in there. Now, what the word guess means in communication is doubt. Now, if you're guessing in your communication, you'll have challenges committing. The type of people who commit tend to have a shorter communication style. They don't tell stories. They hear what's meant, not said. They're able to answer a question and ask questions, ideally, in 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. As you become commitment conscious, you'll also start to pick up on the rest of the world populace, how commitment phobic they are. As you're able to decide and commit, or commit and decide, or you can commit or you can decide whichever word you want to use, then you're commitment conscious. Now, in that kind of energy, you start to create a centrifugal force, an undertow. You begin to magnetize to reality other commitment seekers, other people who have the ability to commit. If you're building a leverage business, a coaching business, a mortgage business, a real estate business, a network marketing business, if you own a gym or you own a small business, then it's going to be your responsibility to ask commitment questions. Now, there are two kinds of questions when it comes to this, open-ended questions and closed-end questions. A closed-end question would be a yes-no question. Are you looking for a way to improve the quality of your health? Are you seeking avenues to create additional streams of income? Well, I've never really thought about it. You didn't ask someone if they thought about it. You asked them a commitment question. And you're going to find that most of society has challenges with one three-letter word, yes. Now, many people will bastardize that word or butcher that word, and they'll turn yes into yeah, Y-E-A-H, or two words that aren't really words, they're a sound connected by a hyphen, uh-huh. And sure is also not yes, because you didn't ask someone sure, you asked them a yes-no question. It's going to be your responsibility to collect decisions. And that will come when you're decision conscious, when you're commitment conscious. You can't collect decisions when you're commitment phobic. Because if you can't commit, how can you ask commitment questions? Well, you can't, because it's very paradoxical. Now, when you begin to understand why you have challenges committing, one of the major reasons that people have challenges committing is because their emotional state that creates a corresponding response stays in a place called worry. When you're worried all the time, when you're always worried, it gives you no margin to step out of this anxiety. My mother always worried. My mother was a chronic worrier. I grew up in a family that worried all the time. I'm always worried about money, always worried. See, always is an absolute, and that's what many people do. They live in these restricted absolutes where they can't change. Now, when you let go of I'm always and begin to let go, separating your feelings and the events that shape them, now you're going to change your energy. You're going to change your emotional state. That's what a higher level of consciousness is. It's an elevated state of emotion. Not the type of emotion where you're excited, but the type of emotion where you're inspired, which is a much more relaxed energy. One of my clients said to me today, I wake up angry. I said, have you ever considered waking up inspired? Now, that was a baffler because she'd never considered that. Now, that means that she's already projecting that she's going to be angry when she gets up. It takes me a half an hour to get ready. It takes me half an hour to wake up. Now, once again, this is how people project an outcome that hasn't happened that creates an identity. Now, when you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that create your anxiety. Now, when you start to live in commitment consciousness, when you're able to decide easily and effortlessly, now you can ask the questions about the outcome that you seek to create. That is called the result. Now, what most people do is they leave life open-ended because they're commitment phobic. They don't make their bed, and because they're not able to decide, they live in an anxiety about failing. Now, a large percent of society puts more energy into failing than mastering the emotional skills that allow them to be and stay sober. Sobriety does not mean sober from alcohol and drugs, although it may. Sober means emotional sobriety, where you don't chronically relapse back into a set of feelings that drives your inactions. Now, action is paramount, said the great Napoleon Hill. What does that actually mean? It means that you're in action. When you're commitment phobic or decision phobic, that means you'll be inactive. When you're a chronic avoider, i.e. a procrastinator, it means you avoid completing projects. It means you avoid starting a project. It means you leave situations open-ended. It means you're a chronic starter and not a committed finisher. Now, when you're a committed finisher, it will begin to show up in many areas of your life. And when you're ambidextrous, when you're a multitasker and you live in a relaxed body, you can accomplish a lot more in a minute, an hour, a day, a week, a month, a quarter, and a year than most of society, because commitment and decision becomes a way of life. But when you tell yourself, now there's a story. Oh, I have challenges. I'm the worst at committing. When you edify the very situation you seek to avoid it becomes and stays your identity. Now, the more you understand why you do what you do, now you can move into a state of recovery. And in that recovery state, you won't tell yourself a series of stories. You won't overwhelm yourself. You won't intoxicate yourself. You won't worry about other people. You won't attract people to fulfill your feelings of low self-esteem. You won't feel rejected when someone doesn't buy from you. When your body lives in an overwhelmed state, anxious about being rejected, abandoned, or failing, you'll create the very situation you seek to avoid. So if you don't find someone to reject you, then you'll reject yourself by avoiding moving into the conversations required to be successful. You'll avoid perceived pain because you can't commit. And you'll spend more time worrying about the outcomes you don't want than creating energy into the outcomes that you deserve to create. And when you become commitment conscious, now you move into a state called meaning. Now, if what you're doing is meaningless, then there's a high probability you will avoid. And when life loses its meaning, that's when people oftentimes become chronic in depression, suicidal. They lose their will to live. They start to attract and create diseases to fulfill their feelings, cancer, multiple sclerosis, eczema, psoriasis, skin issues, where they hold on to unresolved issues under the skin. Then they go to the medical community. They get medicated. They levitate. They hesitate. They pontificate, and they don't ever really heal. When you have that unrest in your soul, when you have no peace, you'll attract people and situations to fulfill these feelings of abandonment, rejection, which lead back to your feelings of being violated. Now, when you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that attract perpetrators, violators, people who are passive-aggressive, people who are angry, then you can begin to neutralize people easily and effortlessly because you're not worried about offending someone, you're not worried about making a mistake, and most importantly, you're not worried about getting in trouble. When getting in trouble becomes a way of life, then you're in a corresponding emotional state that says, please reject me, please abandon me, so I can resent myself and resent the people who do this to me, so I can attract to my reality the people in situations, so I can feel abandoned. Now, in that type of energy, you're going to operate in a very low level of emotion, a very low level of frequency, and you'll attract people in situations at a higher rate of calibration than you would care to admit. Now, when you understand this, when you step into your power, power is awareness, power is understanding. And it's amazing how Hawkins breaks down the 12-step programs in his book Power Versus Force because of anonymity, how there's no officers, there's no control. Now, there's a big difference between a 12-step program and a treatment center, because a treatment center requires more control and more force. The 12-step programs have no officers, there's no salaries, it's self-sufficient, funds itself, and it's all based on suggestion. Now, this is a key component. When you can suggest someone, take a look at a business, you suggest that they change the quality of their life, you're asking them. And when you start to live in asking-oriented questions, you're asking questions about the outcome you seek. And when you can do this in a relaxed body, you unequivocally will be in command of your emotions. But when you're in an anxious, overwhelmed body, you're trying to control an outcome that can't be controlled, so you can be in control of being out of control. And if you can't find someone to be your force, then you'll create your own counterforce. And when you live in this type of win-lose dichotomy, this black-and-white world, someone's got to lose. Power stands alone. It requires no conflict. But if you're conflict consciousness, you live in conflict, you'll have challenges finishing. You'll have challenges deciding. When you let go of the mind-body connections that create your feelings based on the events that shape them, then you're no longer in that state of overwhelmed anxiety. You can learn to be and stay organized. You can master the moving parts of a business. You can be a business owner. I paid taxes today, quarterly, for April 15th. I paid more in taxes today than most people make in an annual year. I wasn't overwhelmed. I wasn't pissed off. I wasn't mad at the government. These are expectations that are required of me to be a business owner. I know Jody in Pittsburgh understands this. I know Leanne knows this. I know people that own businesses. It's a way of life to pay taxes. We don't dread it. It's part of the situation. There's no energy and no value by being pissed off at someone, because really what you're doing is you're angry at yourself. And when you live in that kind of overwhelmed anger, you're going to attract people to fulfill your feelings. People reject you because your energy isn't attractive. People won't want to be around you because you're not service or value-oriented. You're more concerned with being in conflict, finding someone to be wrong. You're looking for flaws. And when you encounter these people, you also have to learn not to try and seduce them into being in your business or buying your products and services. These people are the worst people you can possibly encounter, because they want to be right. They want to find the flaw. They want to put you in a position you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. When you're able to let go of your own perpetrators, violators, when you're able to let go of your anger, your hate, and your resentment, you won't be in conflict with yourself. Because if you're in conflict with yourself, rejecting yourself, you're going to attract people to be in conflict with. So there's no way you can be commitment conscious. You'll be commitment phobic, because you can't have lasting relationships in this kind of energy. When you can't commit, you can't have a soulmate. You're not going to be able to have teammates, because the teammates you'll attract will be similar to you. The people you attempt to mate and date will be similar to you. There'll be conflict. There'll be codependence. There'll be addictions. And that's typically what happens when you live in this low level of energy called anxiety, fear, and doubt. Now, when you're so done with this, when you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shape your addictions, when you start to elevate yourself into higher levels of consciousness, when you live in joy, bliss, then you'll be able to pick on other people and go, yeah, but. See, when someone asks you a question, it's amazing how many times they'll ask you three or four questions. When you can be so relaxed and you can say, that's four questions, which one would you like me to answer first? Then you're not going to be anxious about, oh, I hope they don't think I'm offending them. I hope they don't think I'm a smartass. See, there's no hope they don't think. Because that doesn't enter your wheelhouse anymore. You don't create that kind of situation. People that cross the bridge will say to you, I don't get those questions. And when you're baffled, you go, of course you do. Everyone does. No, you do, because you attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill your inability to decide, your inability to commit, your conflict consciousness, and your commitment phobia. When you start to let go of why you do what you do, then you start to move into a state called joy. You move into a state called bliss. You stop overthinking, processing, and checking out. Now, a key component when you're emotionally aware, when you're emotionally conscious, when you're aware of why people do what they do, you can ask people questions and just watch them check out on command. It takes them 3 to 8 seconds to wind up. Their sentence structure starts with an followed by a preposition well. You can see how people rely on their left brain, the neocortex of their analytical egoic mind, how they're shut off and cut off from their ability to trust their gut, the ability to trust, their ability to feel. In this type of state, which is a very high percent of the population, they're not able to trust their feelings. They rely on logic, facts, and figures. Everything has to make sense. They're the people who typically find challenges coming up with the money because they're not creative and innovative. They're also the type of people who have challenges writing on command. They can't sit down and compose because they have a low level of energy. They also have challenges accessing their voice. If many of you heard Paula Penna, exceptional woman last Tuesday night, who's a guest on the More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. It's now available on Podomatic. Paula assists people to really find their voice. You can't have a voice when you can't decide. And that's what many people do. Their voice is very low. It's very small. They don't want to upset anyone. They don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to get in trouble. So they tend to telegraph their self-esteem and their low energy by having a very small voice, an indecisive voice, a voice that can't commit. As you start to commit and decide, which is a skill, it means you commit and you decide. They're synonymous words. You can interject them in their sentence structure. When these words begin to show up in your sentences, when you say, I commit rather than I need, your energy changes. You attract your reality at a higher level of frequency, other commitment-conscious people rather than commitment-phobic people. When you can't commit, you'll attract your reality at a very high level of frequency in the 20%, which you're gonna have a standard 80%, but your 20% is gonna be your 80%. So that means about 100% of the people you'll attract can't commit. That relegates you to luck. That means you rear end someone in a car, you step out of the car, and one of your shaker bottles rolls on the ground, and someone goes, "Oh, I'd like to join that business." That relegates you to luck. And it's much better to be good than it is lucky, because luck is when opportunity meets preparation. And when you're able to step into that place called the zone, the hands-free zone, then that's a place called overdrive. That's fifth gear. That's synchronicity, destiny. That's expectation. That's creation on command. Frequently to your reality, you'll attract people and situations that will foster your purpose, that will foster your meaning, you'll be able to attract your reality, people who come from purpose. When you become purpose-driven and you understand that what meaning is, what does it mean to own a business when you can articulate that? What does it mean to be an entrepreneur? See, it's the meaning that most people miss, because what they're doing is meaningless. And when you come from meaning, purpose, and cause, then you will not be denied. Now, I know Diane Hunt's on the line tonight. I spoke to her earlier, and I've had numerous conversations about why she owns a business. In 2017, she crossed the bridge. In 2018, she owns her destiny, because she knows she will not be denied. And there's others of you on this phone tonight, I could say the exact same thing. I've coached you for well over a year, and I've watched you absolutely elevate your consciousness. It really means you step up on a mythical step, and you're now on a platform called awareness. It elevates you from being anxious. It's virtually you're walking on air. And in that type of air, that rarefied air, that state called consciousness, you have more access to the quantum field, the Akashic records, the morphogenic energy. Now, those of you who come to the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop this year, some of you will come in May, some of you will come in November. You'll have the opportunity to see the great G. Edward Griffin. You'll watch Brittany Carr, a woman who unequivocally has transcended her emotional state. You'll get to see Bridget Bartley, another woman who's become an expert on LinkedIn. On May 9th, Bridget will be my guest. Bridget has absolutely earned the right to be my guest. I met Bridget 6 years ago. Bridget introduced me to a woman named Jennifer Corliss Trinkner. I watched Bridget with 3 children build her business from the comfort of her home. She had no financial support from any outside influence or outside source. Never once came up with an excuse, stayed in the game long enough to become a multi-business owner. She's now an expert on LinkedIn and will be delivering some of her products coming up here in the spring. You're also going to see Joe DiBianca, another man who crossed the bridge. You're going to see Matt Smith speak at some of my events, a man who unequivocally has crossed the bridge and understands the inner game of neuro-linguistic programming. So when Matt starts to tell you what an embedded words are, you'll have a better understanding of how to use those words to move conversation along. That's called persuasion. As you start to no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, then you can do what Dennis Snyder did, get in his car in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, move to Los Angeles, California, audition 13 months in a row to play 3 minutes in a bar called Super Soul Monday. Now, when you have that kind of commitment, Dennis went 13 months consecutively, 4 Mondays in a row, 13 months, do the math on that. Ask JJ and the Fantastics, the lead singer of the house band that has members from Selena Gomez's touring band, Stevie Wonder, and some of LA's top musicians. When you go there 13 months in a row and you ask the band leader, "Can I set in?" He's not rejecting you, and when he blows you off, you buy him a drink. You know that your time's going to come. That's what my boy Dennis did. 13 months, Dennis got 3 minutes. He got 3 minutes of fame there, and that changed his life. See, when you're that committed, you not only do whatever is required, but you know what's required. And when you know what's required, then you're being that person. When you step into that state of being, then you will not be denied, because it becomes academic. See, when you come from that place of power, when it's academic, it's already done before it's done. That's commitment. And you have to be able to commit knowing, yet not knowing when. You know, and you know that you know, and you let go of what you don't know, and when you stop doubting, then you won't go, "How do I?" When you let go of "How do I?" and "I don't understand" and "I don't know," your energy shifts and changes. When you can look someone in the eye who knows, and you know that you're starting to know, and they know, their inner knowing brings you into a place called know. That's the power of mentorship. That's the power of a mastermind. When you begin to align yourself and set my front rows, and you set my front rows over and over, and we make eye contact, and you hire me for a year or more, and you don't give me the same money excuses that most of society does, because you're not focused on the money, you're focused on the result. Many people don't hire me because they tell themselves they can't afford it. What they're actually doing is talking themselves out of a database that they can feel comfortable in. What many people do is they talk themselves out of the opportunity to connect. And you're not buying friendship or buying loyalty. You're purchasing value. And when you purchase that kind of value, you become more valuable. But when you continue to diminish your value, you don't have the money. And when you stay in a diminished value, the law of no return, how can you attract a reality to people that don't have those same kind of money dialogue? It's the dichotomy that so many people live in. It's the left-right, win-lose type of dichotomy called power, called force and counterforce. When you live in power, money shows up. When you live in power, you attract to reality people and situations that want to do business with you. I have people right now in multiple cities that want to do business with me that I've had to pass on because it's not the ideal situation. Now, when I had challenges committing, I'd be destitute. These people would never show up in that kind of energy because I was begging. I was destitute for a short period of time, and I had forgotten my way on this journey. I actually went back and got a job and got my ass handed to me. Here I am selling food for a company called Cisco, and I called it Psycho because I had to be there. I was making $300 a week on what was called a click down. That means that every week my commission structure went lower and lower, and my quota became higher and higher. I freaking knew I was on borrowed time, and that was one of those situations that my energy wasn't conducive to doing a good job for my employer because I was not psychologically employable. And when I got my ass handed to me and said, no mas, no more, adios, see ya, chief, I'm never coming back here again, it was liberating. Even though I racked up over $100,000 of credit card debt by then, I wasn't focused on the debt. I was focused on the result. I never focused on getting out of debt. I focused on attracting someone that I could create six figures with. I shift my energy. I didn't focus on negativity. I focused on results. I didn't focus on being positive. Being positive isn't going to do dick for me. Being positive is going to keep. I mean, I was focused on being inspired and creating results. That's called commitment and a decision. See, when prospects can't make a decision, it's going to be your responsibility sometimes to decide for them by letting them go. When you're able to let people go effortlessly and easily, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that would shape anxiety, rejection, abandonment, and resentment. When you commit and it becomes an identity, then your energy begins to shift. Your consciousness is elevated because you're commitment conscious. You're able to commit easily. You're not so focused on the money. You're not focused on what hasn't happened. You're focused on an outcome that's going to be favorable. When you live in a no state, not N-O, but a K-N-O-W, then you're able to create decisions that lead to success. When you're able to answer a question without telling a story, you're commitment conscious. When you let go of trying to control the outcome by not deciding, then you're commitment conscious. When you use words that are empowering, when you start to understand embedded words and what that actually means, you start to really step into your power. When you let go of being powerless, then you start to use words that are called embedded commands. When you're able to be in command of your emotions, you're letting go of trying to control your emotions. When you understand the power of words, now that I'm grown up, I have the ability to commit. Now, today, I can commit on all decisions that are required of me to decide by trusting my feelings. I am commitment conscious. I'm able to commit easily and effortlessly by creating a decision. You don't make a decision, you decide. Make is a force word. Deciding is a word of power. When you have to make, have to, should, these are words of indecision. When you command your emotional state, you're able to decide and commit easily and effortlessly one decision at a time. When you actually slow down so you can speed up, you can ask one question at a time. But when you're overwhelmed, when you're impatient, when you're indecisive, you'll tend to run on questions. You'll ask three or four questions in one sentence. Then you'll confuse the people that you're seeking to have in your circle of influence. When you use words of uncertainty like guess, kind of, sort of, and need, those words have no power. When you don't decide, the brain and the body are not in alignment. When you have challenges deciding, your body runs your brain. You attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill your indecisiveness. You attract people who violate you. You attract people who use force to control you so you can be in force. Or if you can't find someone to be in force, you'll force upon yourself indecision, indecisiveness, chronic avoidance. That way you can feel bad and reject yourself. As you have a better understanding of why you do what you do, as you're able to easily and effortlessly transform, as you're able to understand the rules of engagement, the rules of engagement are you ask questions easily and effortlessly. You ask the questions in a sequence. So many people get hung up on the right question. What's the right question? Well, are you implying that if you're not right, you're wrong? And that's what the whole force-counterforce dichotomy is. It's you're right, I'm wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. When you live in that kind of conflict, there's no way you can decide and commit. When you become commitment conscious, when you're able to decide on command, you'll change who and what you attract. You'll also create an energetic state that's much more conducive to people and situations being in your law of alignment. As you begin to let go of your dialogue and anxiety about money, being able to attract people and situations, they're going to foster your meaning, your purpose, and your cause becomes a lot more effortless. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated.
Thank you for listening to the More Heart Than Talent Radio. If you enjoyed today's content and would like more insight on how to release emotional overwhelm and procrastination tendencies, then take advantage of my free Procrastination Cure Book giveaway. If you are committed to letting go of your procrastination tendencies, begin the process of changing your identity now so you can finally go from procrastination to producer. To receive your free copy now, go to goldenmastermind.com/pro.